Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing renovating your home on a budget. Before we get into all that stuff, I want to mention that my friend Katie, she sent me an email based on our Frugal versus Cheap podcast when I talked about buying a fan for our rental property that was super, super small.
Yeah, with the uber short fan blades.
Yeah. So I kind of gave myself some crap for that, and that was definitely a cheap out as opposed to a frugal purchase.
Yeah, it looks dumb.
It looks terrible and actually is incredibly ineffective.
It doesn't really move the air quite as well.
No, because it looks like it belongs in a 4x4 room as opposed to a 12x12 room, which is kind of what it's in, I think.
It's like a desk fan mounted to the ceiling.
Yeah, it looks so ridiculous. So she sent me this really interesting article from this site called younghouselove.com, and it turns out...
Oh, I know that site.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude, that's the house renovating sort of site. John and Sherry. Kate and I used to...
What, you like buddies with these people?
No, but Kate and I used to keep up with that site all the time back in the day. When we first got our house, they were constantly doing sort of these DIY projects, and they would inspire us to try stuff out at home. But then they kind of stopped blogging for a while. So I guess they fired it back up. So cool.
Yeah, so I don't know if this was a recent article or what, but okay. But this was an awesome suggestion. I guess they, too, found themselves in a similar spot where they had a fan that had fan blades that were way too short and just didn't circulate enough air. And what they did was they reached out to the manufacturer, apparently, and they asked if they had fan blades that were longer that would fit this exact same fan. They sent them the model number, and the manufacturer just sent them some new longer fan blades that fit perfectly, and the fan still worked fine.
That's
so
awesome.
Now I'm going to reach out to the manufacturer of my fan and see if I can do the same thing, see if I can get some free fan blades and just make that thing work properly.
That's awesome, man. I love that. Well, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I actually reached out to the manufacturer of one of our fans because the LED panel for the light went out, and it sat there for a little bit with sort of this half dim light and
mood lighting, some people would call that,
with this half dim light. Yeah, that's right. And we knew it wasn't working properly, but I was just kind of lazy. But I finally reached out to the manufacturer with a part number, and we had to pay for that part. However, it was only $14, and because of that, we basically got our lighting back in our living room when before it was totally dark. That's something I'd never really done before, actually reaching out to the manufacturer. I think maybe in a previous life, I would have looked at that and been like, that fan's got to go in a couple of years. Let's just get rid of it.
I remember doing that a while back with a carafe for a coffee maker. It kind of busted. Like, it just kind of fell apart. And so I reached out to the manufacturer. And I told them the model number I was working with. And I was like, I really, really love the coffee maker. I don't really want to buy a new one.
Yeah, there's a lot more life in this thing. If only I had the glass part.
Exactly. And so they, sent me another one free of charge, which is super cool.
They hooked you up?
Yeah.
Dang it.
So I feel like...
I had to pay for my light, dude.
Oh, that's a... Well, $14 is not too bad.
That's not bad. I was pretty happy with it, but that's a downside to LED lights in general, right? Like, they say that, LEDs, they're going to last for 20, 30 years, unlike traditional incandescent lights. However, the electric boards will sometimes kind of short out, and it's not that the LED itself is going bad, but the circuitry sometimes may not be quite up to snuff.
But I think it's really important to realize that it never hurts to ask, right? Maybe I can reverse my cheap ways, turn it into a frugal win. I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, man. I love the discussion between frugal versus cheap, right? It makes me think of a couple of weeks back, we had a listener in our Facebook group at How to Money. Ben, he said, frugal or cheap? My daughter has outgrown her sippy cups and I use them to take milk to work because I hate the powdered creamer they provide for the coffee. I fill up the milk at home and place it in the fridge in the office break room. What do you think about that, man?
I love it. I love it, man. We've got so many freaking sippy cups around our house. And my girls, for some reason, love to still use like some of the ones they used as babies. They just think that's the coolest thing ever. And you know what? I should probably take some of them to work and do something with them. So,
something a little more creative. Yeah.
But I love that Ben's not putting them out to pasture, tossing them in the garbage, and he's getting a second life out of them. And I just think that's funny because if I was his coworker, I would probably ask for an explanation. But
why is there a sippy cup in the fridge?
Right. Yeah. Right. But then I would have a good laugh and probably use the creamer that he brought because he's right. Powder cream sucks.
Well, added bonus, if no one ever knew that that's what was in it, his coworkers wouldn't steal the creamer because I guarantee you they probably think it sucks too.
And they're like,
the powdered creamer.
Do we hire a baby around here? Yeah. Where's this baby, man?
Got my boss baby going on. All right, Joe, let's go ahead and mention the beer that we're going to have on the show today. It is from Prairie Artisan Ales, and this beer is called Apple Brandy Barrel Noir. This is an Imperial Stout aged in apple brandy barrels. And before we kind of get to the what it tastes like, I wanted to mention that this was donated to us from Jeff and Val of Monday Morning Pancakes. Dude, they wrote us a note and sent a couple of amazing beers and a few things they mentioned in the letter.
Any pancakes, too, or no?
I wish.
Although I don't think they hold up very well in the mail.
Yeah, I don't think so. They said that they were in a rut financially and had since been inspired to start their blog, Monday Morning Pancakes, to document their path to a better lifestyle and financial independence.
I tell you what, man, sometimes just starting a blog or some sort of diary, anything to kind of track your progress and put it down in writing can kind of help you not only to gather your thoughts and get started in a specific direction, but then also kind of hold yourself accountable as you're going through the process. And so I love that. I love that they started something and they started something together to kind of turn inspiration into like application, really, right?
Yeah, I love that. And what a great way to get on the same page as your spouse, right? By starting something together.
And what a great way to gain our favor by sending us beer.
So I was really excited because I didn't tell you what beer this was, but have you had this before?
Well, now I have to look at the label. I don't think I've ever had this one.
Cool. I just know when I read that label, I thought, holy crap, this might be one of the best beers that we've had on the show in a long, long time, just based on the name alone. So you are having a sip right now. And yeah, what are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, I did just have a sip. And you might be right, Matt. That's a phenomenal beer. The word I'm going to use this week to describe this beer is barrel.
And I know we say that almost every week that, oh, this is such a good beer. But for real, this beer is fantastic. And my word is going to be apple.
And all the other times, we were just lying. Like, none of those beers have been good. Completely joking. But this one is good, right?
Yeah. Did you hear my word? I said apple.
I did.
You for it?
Honestly, that's the word I almost went with.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I was like, it's a little too straightforward because...
No, man, I take it right on the nose. So
yeah, so we'll describe a little bit later on in the show exactly why we use those words. And no, we weren't lying in episodes past. We just honestly drink good beers every week. Super thankful to get to drink good beers with you, my friend, and do the show.
All right, Joel, but on to the topic at hand. Huh?
You did that nicely.
Yeah, that's how you do it. And so this week, we are talking about specific tips when it comes to renovating your home on a budget. What are the specific tips you can use to save yourself money and to keep you within your budget? And last week, we discussed the pros and cons and the factors that you should keep in mind when considering if you should renovate or if you should move. And we came to the fact that both can be just as stressful and expensive. But, you know, if you want to renovate or you think that you will ever renovate, this is the episode for you.
Yeah, Matt, and I think there are going to be a lot of like big picture things for people to take away from this episode, but there are also going to be these small things that seem insignificant potentially, but could be the difference between having a contractor that does a good job for you or one that takes your money and runs. And there are so many horror stories of people that decide to move forward with a renovation and they hire a contractor based on very little knowledge or a word of mouth from one person. And guess what? You pay a lot of money up front for them to start the project and then you never see them again. And I've just heard and read too many of those stories from people. And that's a huge reason why we're creating this episode is to help people not only figure out how to save money, maybe DIY some things themselves, but ultimately also to avoid that potentially tragic circumstance where you lose a ton of money by giving your money to a scam artist.
So we're going to get to all those tips right after this break.
All right, Matt, let's get right into it. First, are you sure you wanna? I mean, renovating a house is a pain. We talked about it last week. So certainly there are a lot of benefits, but there are also a lot of costs and headaches associated with a major reno. You might be able to instead possibly spend a fraction of the renovation costs you're considering on storage and organization to save a ton. That's something we mentioned last week. Just wanted to briefly say it in this episode in case you missed that one. Now let's get on to some actual tips for how you renovate your home on a budget.
The first tip that we're going to cover is to keep in mind that it's going to cost more and it's going to take longer than you expect.
I've never heard that about a renovation, man.
You hear this all the time, but you got to keep it in mind because it is, dude, it is so true. I'm thinking of some friends of ours who live pretty close by. They would also say the same thing. Their project went a couple months over than what the contractor said. And so did the price. And so in their case, they kind of had the double whammy going on, man.
Which is not uncommon.
Yeah, it's not uncommon, but it's just something to keep in mind. You need to set some expectations, and chances are that one of the two of those are going to go over.
Yeah, you're going through a home renovation right now, so you have some particular expertise at this moment in time.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And so I think we're pretty much on time, which is pretty crazy, right? The fact that we're on this, the time schedule that our general contractor had said was going to be the case, but we are going over budget for reasons that we'll get into later in this episode. But from a time standpoint, we seem to be pretty much on track, which is pretty freaking awesome, but it's not always the case.
Yeah, so speaking of budgeting and money, start saving now. Paying cash is the most ideal way to pay for a renovation. I realize that is a high standard. That's a difficult thing to live up to. But if you find yourself thinking right now, oh man, in a couple of years, I feel like we're going to want an extra bathroom, or we're going to want to remodel the kitchen, you know, whatever it may be. If you can think about it ahead of time and start saving for that, then you don't have to worry about banks. And that's really nice to not have to go through a process of taking out a home equity line or loan or doing like a cash out refi, because those can just be a pain, a lot of paperwork, a lot of documentation, and any way that you can avoid that is awesome.
Yeah, or even on top of that, man, construction loans. That's a product that's out there that a lot of people use to renovate and like do a big renovation on their home. But with those come a lot more work. The bank sends out their own inspectors, and so it really slows down the work. You have to not only get the work inspected by your local government for permitting and whatnot, but the bank has to also approve the work because they're the ones that are funding the work. And so it really kind of slows the process down, and it adds a layer of complexity to the work that you're having done on your place.
Yeah. And so if you do need to get a loan, the type of product that you want to get depends on the amount of time that it's going to take you to pay off that loan. So if you end up getting an adjustable rate loan, like a home equity line of credit, you are only going to want to do that if you feel like you can pay that off in a shorter amount of time. Because chances are, in an environment where interest rates are rising, you're likely going to pay more in overall interest if it takes you a longer time to pay off. And so if that's the case, if it's going to take you a longer time to pay off, and I'm saying greater than a 3 to 5 year timeline, you're going to want to go with something that locks in your rate, like a home equity loan or potentially that cash out refinance. Because interest rates are still overall at a pretty low level. And so if it's going to take you a while to pay off, well, it's best to lock that interest rate in now when you're considering taking out funds for a renovation.
Yeah, that's right, man. You want to have a plan to pay that off as soon as possible. Next tip, if it's a job that's going to be bigger, you want to consider hiring an architect to get some detailed drawings. Otherwise, not having decisions made ahead of time could cost you way more money and cause the project to run longer than expected. And when you do this, you want to make sure you tell them your overall budget, because you might have architects who can do some incredible work and they might draw you some amazing plans, right, for a renovation that you could never afford. And you might think to yourself, well, how the heck am I supposed to even know my budget? But a way that you can get some ballpark numbers is to reach out to some contractors, have them come by your place and generally go over the square footage that you're looking at adding, the general finishes. Most of the time, you're going to match your existing house and they'll give you a range. With that range, you can then take that to the architect before you pay them thousands of dollars to come up with incredibly detailed plans that you can't actually do anything with. Oh, and another quick tip when you're talking to your architect is make sure that you are having things designed and drawn to like more standard sizes. So for instance, doors come standard at 6'8". If you don't want to be blowing your budget out of the water, don't have some detailed drawings where you've got this custom 7'2" door in your house, because guess what? Those are going to have to be custom made. Consider standard sizes and your architect will know what those are.
But ultimately, Matt, the biggest thing you need to consider when you're jumping into a potential bigger home renovation is a general contractor.
That's right, a GC.
The GC can make or break the whole thing. And so we've got a few tips on selecting the right one. It's important to ask friends and local realtors for recommendations for local contractors. And it's really important to get at minimum 3 different quotes from different contractors in your area. That'll help you kind of develop a ballpark of what this project might cost. And when you're interviewing those contractors that have been recommended to you, it's really important to call their references, to ask for references, right? And then to call those references. And then you want to even go a step further, because lots of people do that. They ask for the references, they read the references. But if you can actually go out and look at a job that they've done, physically go out to someone's house.
Yeah, see the work, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that is so helpful in seeing, okay, how good is the work, right? And if you see it in person, you can see the little imperfections or the ways in which that contractor has taken special care to do a great job. Seeing the work in person and talking to that individual, not just over the phone, but to their face, where you can actually discuss what the process was like. You're going to get a lot more information about how that how they worked with that contractor, how easy it was, and how happy they are with, you know, the final outcome.
There's a lot more sort of nuance that goes into conversation when you're hanging out in person versus, say, on an email or a quick text, where they might feel the need to sort of gloss over some of the things that they didn't love so much. But again, like you said, hanging out in person, it's why we like to hang out in person. But there's just, you have more fun and you're able to communicate a lot more just robustly.
Yeah, it makes me think of our episode, Matt, that we did about screening a tenant. And it's very, very similar to that, where that first impression that you get of a tenant through email or a phone call can be awesome. And then you meet them in person and you can tell a whole lot by when they show up, how they present themselves, and how that walk through the house goes. There's so much that you can gather from an in-person visit that you couldn't over a phone call. And the same is true when you're picking a general contractor.
Another thing is that you want to make sure that your general contractor is licensed and insured. GCs can cost 10 to 30% of your total project cost. And that's a lot of money. So you want to make sure that you've got one that isn't going to end up being a liability for you.
Yeah, and this vetting process can save you a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of heartache. Spend the extra time on the front end to save all of those other things on the back end.
Keep in mind, though, that when you get a quote from your GC or potential GC, that is just an estimate. It's not a final bid or a final price. More than likely, there are going to be unforeseen things that always arise once a renovation is underway, and you want a GC who will address these issues with a change work order and not just cut corners. Because basically, something comes up and you've got two options. If the GC feels that, you know, that you're locked into this price and that you're not really flexible, well, they know that you're not going to want to spend extra money to fix that. And so they're probably just going to cut corners, or they're just going to sort of drywall over that rotten spot or whatever it is. You want a GC who will communicate with you, have these discussions, and hopefully that these are decisions that you can make together and move forward.
Yeah, and I feel like that process, Matt, that beginning process, that getting to know you kind of process with a general contractor, receiving their estimate, seeing how they present themselves in person to you, whether they're on time and how thorough they are, whether they get their estimate to you when they say they will, that is foreshadowing of how things are going to go when the renovation process actually begins. So take note of that when you're getting your quotes from contractors. How that process goes down is going to be very indicative of what your future with that contractor looks like.
Yeah, Joel, I couldn't agree more, right? If you're going to have to make like 5 phone calls just to hear back from your contractor to get you a quote, chances are they may not be the best fit if you're expecting to, you know, hear back after 1 phone call or 1 text message. You also want to have a general contractor who's familiar with the permitting process of your particular city. So building codes are standard and international. But the local government, they're the ones who handles the permitting approval process, and they all do it differently. What documents they expect varies, and how they want that presented, all that varies. And so you want a GC who's familiar with that process and knows how to sort of streamline that and quickly move it along. That's going to have a huge impact on the projected amount of time. However, even if you are using an experienced local contractor, you might want to consider using an expediter if time is of the essence for you. They'll be the ones who are most knowledgeable with what your local permitting office is looking for. And hopefully they're not doing anything illegal, but they're the ones who can kind of take your plans and set it over on their buddy's desk. And who knows, maybe they'll get to reviewing your plans 2 or 3 weeks before they would have otherwise.
Gotta love a good wheel greasing. Don't pay big amounts up front, and never pay in full to your contractor. And you want to make sure that you withhold final payment until the project is 100% complete. I've heard stories of people that pay their final payment to their contractor before the final punch list is all done. And obviously there are even worse stories than that. But if there's work that still remains incomplete on the renovation that you're doing, you shouldn't pay the contractor until all of those things are completed. Because once that last check has been put in the hand of that GC, they're gone. Like that's it. Their job is complete. At least that's the way they're going to view it. And so you want to make sure that you withhold until you are completely satisfied that all the work has been completed according to the plans that you set out.
Yeah, and Joel, and certainly this is definitely the case too with smaller subs, right? Like if you say we're just going to like have a contractor sort of put a new roof on your house or something like that, you never pay until the project or the job is done. However, typically with a bigger job, with a general contractor, typically there's a payment schedule and there's draws that are planned at different completion points in the work. Those are the kind of details that you're going to want to see in the contract with your general contractor. And some of that you can negotiate if there's, you know, something weird or something that stands out to you. But keep an eye out for work and payment that looks like they should sort of mirror each other and coincide. Because fact is, sometimes there's just a lot of material that need to be purchased and there's other sort of subs that need to get reserved, sort of in a sense where they're paid a deposit under the general contractor. So, you know, we haven't even mentioned this, but a general contractor is sort of like the manager of the job. They're typically not the one who's doing much of any of the actual work on your house. They might do like some trim work or some sort of miscellaneous odd job work here and there, but they're the ones who are coordinating, scheduling the subs and making sure they are there on time. They're the ones overseeing the entire project. And going back to deposits that they are giving, sometimes they are needing to reserve their subs to make sure that they're good for the job as well.
So Matt, I feel like that does beg the question, do people even need a general contractor? And that's a great question to ask because, as you mentioned, a general contractor can often make 10 to 30% of the overall price of your renovation. And depending on the scope of your renovation and your personal availability, your specific need for a general contractor varies. And so we'll kind of get into that and some other cost-saving measures that you can take when you're undergoing a home renovation right after the break.
All right, Joel, let's now talk about whether you should or shouldn't have a general contractor. And so if you're a type A personality, right, you might consider being your own general contractor if you have the time and knowledge. This is going to be a little controversial of a statement to make. Chances are you're going to be poring over the details and wanting to know why everything is happening the way it is anyway. So check with your state laws, as some require a license, sometimes with experience. But that might be a way that you could save some serious amount of money. However, I will say that most people will want a general contractor. Most folks renovating their home can't take on the added responsibility of basically another full-time job, making the decisions, or even having the knowledge or the experience in dealing with subcontractors. A good general contractor is totally worth it. They've got relationships with suppliers, with subcontractors, like I just mentioned, they've got that experience. You know, those relationships with subcontractors, that's honestly what kind of makes or breaks a renovation. Like having framers or a roofer or a plumber or an electrician to have them show up when they're supposed to. That's the difference between your project running months over when it should be finished and it staying on time. Or that's the difference between you going way over budget because this is something that wasn't considered because there wasn't somebody overseeing the entire project, to it falling within the scope and the budget that you were expecting. You know, as a homeowner and someone who's renovating their house currently, dude, we make so many decisions right now. I could not imagine having to also make tons and tons of other decisions that involve people that we aren't talking to every single day.
Yeah, especially if you're kind of a novice homeowner, it really isn't even something that you should consider. If you have a little bit of experience when it comes to building or you're taking on a much lighter project, maybe you want to think about being your own GC if you're hiring just a few subcontractors. And hopefully you've had experience with some of those subcontractors before. But if you're whipping out the yellow pages and thinking yeah. that you're going to find the right folks to complete your renovation and you need to hire everybody from, like you said, framers to electricians to tile workers, chances are you're better off in the hands of a general contractor.
Yeah, man, basically, if you have to Google, like, should I be my own general contractor? You probably shouldn't.
Yeah, Google just responds, big no. Yeah, another important question, Matt, to ask is, but what can you do yourself, right? And that's an important question because we would never tell anyone to shy away from a good DIY project. And if you can save some money by tackling some of these projects yourself, that's freaking awesome. We're all about that, right? And there are little things that you can do along the way that could save yourself thousands of dollars in a home renovation that we think you should totally consider. And the first part of that is the beginning, and it's the demo. That's actually kind of the more fun part too, right? You get a big sledgehammer, you start knocking out kitchen cabinets or whatever that is. And that's something that you can actually save some money on by telling your contractor, hey, we're going to take care of the demo, making sure you know the scope of what you actually need to take on in that demo. But that's a kind of maybe fun way to get your aggression out and save some money at the same time.
What kind of aggression are you dealing with, man? And painting, dude, that's something else that a lot of people can do and have done themselves as well.
Yeah, that's usually one of the last things right on the list is painting a room. And so, yeah, if you can handle the front end, a little bit of demo, the back end, a little bit of painting, you can save yourself big money. And then you're also kind of not getting in the way of some of those subcontractors that are doing some of the heavy lifting in the middle.
And while interior painting, you know, it seems totally doable, I'm not sure we would recommend you taking on the exterior painting of your house, in particular if it's more than one story, because you might die.
Death is not worth it.
Another tip is to consider saving money by getting recycled materials. You could visit your local Habitat for Humanity Restore. This is something that we have done when we were adding a storage room onto one of our rental properties. We found an awesome, perfectly sized window that we were needing on a wall that we're putting in. And we saved so much money by picking up this random window. And sure, it doesn't really match the other windows in the house, but you know what? None of the other windows really match either, so it doesn't really matter. And also consider picking up remnants of, say, like a countertop. You can go to a countertop warehouse or installer, and a lot of times we'll have remnants on site from a bigger job where there's pieces of, say, that granite or that marble that they couldn't use from the larger piece that they cut it from. And you know what? If you were just remodeling a smaller kitchen or you only needed that for maybe an island, you could save some huge money by just picking up this piece that they were going to end up just tossing in the trash.
Yeah, and let's say you've got appliances that are in solid condition. Man, reuse the appliances. Don't toss those out. That's like a common thing that people do when they renovate. They go all the way and they end up tossing out something that's perfectly good. If you've built it into your budget and that's a strong desire to have, you know, new appliances at the same time, I mean, I think that's okay. I just know that it deserves a mention. Matt, I know you're salvaging some of yours, and that just cuts down on the overall cost of the reno that you're undertaking.
Yeah, man, that's true. However, we did have to get a new dishwasher. Did I tell you my dishwasher story? How we were limping along with this dishwasher that we got for free? So our old dishwasher essentially stopped properly working. I mean, it just was not cleaning the dishes. And we knew that we were going to have to get a new dishwasher at some point. But I found one for free. A friend kind of put us in touch with somebody else that had purchased a rental. And they were swapping out those appliances. But the dishwasher totally worked. Being the frugal guy, hopefully not cheap, that I am, dude, I went over there, grabbed it. It was already uninstalled, brought it over to our place, quickly was able to get it in there. And dude, I tell you what, that base model 10 to 20 year old dishwasher with dust all over it worked so well, way better than that old stainless steel dishwasher that we had.
But I love that idea for a lot of folks. If your appliances are only a few years old, if they are in solid condition, like think about keeping it as opposed to replacing something that's perfectly good the way it is.
Yeah, or even if they're mismatched a little bit, like no one really cares if your appliances don't all match or if they're all from the same suite.
Yeah, and just like that new car smell, it doesn't last very long. And that same feeling that you get when you walk into a brand new kitchen with brand new appliances, you know what? That feeling doesn't last all that long either.
And Joel, something else to consider is think about whether you would be happy with more cosmetic changes like painting or maybe getting that new backsplash versus moving walls and taking on a huge project. You know, if you consider not changing the layouts, that can save you huge, huge amounts of money. However, if you are going to move some walls, consider not moving major systems. Anything that involves large amounts of HVAC or electrical or plumbing, these are all things that are going to require each one of those subcontractors to be in there to do that work, and all that adds up. So for example, think about a bathroom, right? If you're going to update that bathroom, you're going to get a new toilet in there, replace the tile, maybe switch out the sink, get some new faucets. That's going to cost you a lot of money. However, if you're going to move that bathroom from point A to point B, that's going to cost you way more money because you're involving a plumber. You're having to basically rebuild that bathroom in a different location.
Yeah, you know something else that adds up, Matt? The secondary costs of renovation after the fact. And so it's really important to take those into consideration before you sign a contract with a general contractor and before you actually start demo.
So you mean like adding onto your house or making it a little bit bigger?
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of people that are considering a home renovation, they are adding on square footage potentially to a house. And so if you are doing that, not only do you have to consider what you just mentioned, moving plumbing or electricity around, which adds a lot to the cost of that renovation, but also your taxes will go up because of the increased square footage. You'll also likely end up paying higher energy bills because of that renovation.
Yeah, you got to heat and cool that space, man.
Exactly. It's more space to take care of. And so that's just going to cost you more money.
That's right, though. That's an important consideration. That was episode 48, where we talked about why everything costs more than you think.
Yeah, and a home renovation costs more than just the bottom line on the contract that you get from your general contractor before the actual renovations begin. It costs you more in time and money usually than that. And then on top of that, there are secondary costs that you have to think about. Just don't forget to consider those before you dive in headfirst.
All right, Joel, that's right, man. Let's go ahead now and let's get back to our beer. We are drinking an apple brandy barrel noir, which is an imperial stout by Prairie Artisan Ales. And I'm going to go ahead and kick it off with my word, man, which was apple. You like the apple?
I love it. That was almost the word I went with.
And the reason I said that was because literally that's what you smelt like on the nose. Like on the nose, what it smelled like to me was like a bowl of Apple Jacks. Just that apple, wheat, and grainy smell. However, when we tasted the beer, dude, I feel like I didn't taste the apple nearly as much as I smelt it. Like on the nose, strong apple. In my mouth, weak apple.
I felt like the barrel actually influenced this beer so strongly.
Yeah, you could totally taste that.
I'd be so interested to know how long this beer was in the barrels, because that can completely change the way a beer tastes. And some breweries will put something in for a couple months and you get very, very light barrel flavor. And this beer, it must have been for a year or close to it, because you got
10 years, who knows?
Because you got a huge amount of that apple brandy barrel on the nose in the flavor profile. And so that's why my word was barrel, because I feel like the barrel was the big standout here. I got to know that barrel and the flavors that it imparted to this beer very, very well.
Yeah, definitely there's a lot of roasted flavors, and I agree with you as far as the barrel. It added a lot of earthiness to it. Like it felt like I had my nose down in like wet earth mixed with coffee. It's like I had a hot cup of coffee next to my Apple Jacks, and I'm sitting there and it's just like all wafting up towards my nose.
But I thought you switched to hot water.
I do drink hot water throughout the day, but I drink coffee in the afternoon.
That's right.
When I eat my Apple Jacks.
But yeah, this was a delicious beer. Thanks so much to Jeff and Val for sending that over. It's always greatly appreciated when listeners send in a beer, and especially a beer of this sort of magnitude. This was incredible. All right, Matt, let's get to our final thoughts. And a really important thing to mention is that paying cash, or at least saving up a substantial amount of cash when you're considering a home renovation, is so important. And honestly, it feels like something that people would laugh at or scoff at in this day and age of easy home loan refinances and home equity lines of credit. Well, why not finance it when I can? But we would say save up as much as you can. It's going to put you in a better position to tackle this potential home reno.
That's right, man. You don't want to foot your future self with the bill from today's lifestyle. And another tip that I think is pretty important, man, is to consider an architect, not just an architect that will give you the basic plans, right? You don't want to go cheap. If it's a bigger project, consider having detailed drawings. That will save you so many decisions. And Kate and I have had incredible decision fatigue. This is something that can save you just a lot of that time suck. We're constantly on call to make decisions.
Yeah, and the decision that you make when it comes to a general contractor is probably the most important decision you're going to make when it comes to your renovation. It can make or break the entire process for you. And so we would say have a strenuous vetting process where you interview multiple, three or more general contractors and get solid recommendations from friends that have renovated and from local realtors.
Yeah, and if you are pretty handy, man, truly consider the different things that you can DIY, things like painting or demo. However, for most folks, you probably aren't going to be able to DIY being the general contractor. Most likely, it'll be best to leave that to the pros.
And lastly, it's really important to consider whether you'd be happy with some smaller cosmetic changes. Taking on a big renovation is life-changing. It can suck a bunch of your energy and time and a lot of your money. So going in a simpler direction can provide you a lot of what you're looking for at a much cheaper price point.
And dude, did we even talk about storage solutions? I bet you could spend 1% of what your renovation might cost on some really nice storage at your place. And I bet that alone right there could buy you another 4 to 5 years in your house.
Yeah, depending on your situation, really good storage can be a big difference maker. All right, Matt, that's going to do it for this episode. You can find show notes for this episode on our website, howtomoney.com.
Yeah, and if you found the things that Joel and I talk about helpful or interesting or even mildly entertaining, we would love to hear from you. We would really appreciate if you were able to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You know, that helps to get the word out. So, you know, share your thoughts.
It's like a big red megaphone for potential listeners.
Yeah, man, that's right. And so until next time,
best friends out.
Yeah, best friends out.